go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 120 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. The B-Man, the People's Degenerate, that's who I am. Reflecting back on my life and the things that I am currently doing, I must confess that I have never been, and till very recently, that is, I've never been into baked milk. That industry, I've never been a consumer of milk. Of course, I've had products, or I should say, foods that have milk in the ingredients, I have consumed plenty of times. But milk itself, like from the jug or poured into a glass, I've never drank milk. I've never enjoyed the taste of it, the texture, things that are white, especially people. I'm a little, I get a little queasy about. Even when I was a child, you know, burgeoning pervert at the time, I would have cereal, but I would have it dry. I'd have it raw without milk in it, and all my friends thought I was a psychopath for doing so. I thought I was a mist. You can't trust a guy or a child that is that doesn't pour milk into his Fruit Loops. I was a big Fruit Loops guy, and you know when the cereal seeps into the milk and then you drink it afterwards, you slurp it up. Nope. Me, I would just take my hand into the box because my parents were successful, so we didn't have to eat a generic brand bagged cereal. Thank you for that, parents. But yeah, I would just put my hand in the Fruit Loops and eat it like it was a bag of potato chips. So I don't really know anything about the milk industry other than it comes from cows and other and like goats, I guess, goat milk, and I guess some nuts milk comes from. I don't know anything about milk and the consumption of it, but I know my body is a little weak. I'm 40 years old. I'm trying to preserve my bones. So I do know, or I have heard, I don't know if this is an old wives' tale or not, that drinking milk gives you strong bones. So the last 2 weeks, the B-Man, I've been drinking a glass of a 2% milk every day. So that's 8 ounces, one glass a day. I've actually, in the past 2 weeks, I will admit, I have been wrong the last 35 years. My tongue, my taste buds, I've been off balance because I now enjoy the taste of 2% milk. But I bring this all up to you, 7 or 8 viewers, listeners of Verbal Graffiti. And again, thank you for listening or watching on YouTube. And remember to like, subscribe, and jerk off to the B-Man, because I shaved my head today. I am lovely. Anyway, back to milk. So I know whole milk. I know whole milk is probably the unhealthiest of all the milks, but maybe the best tasting. But again, I've never drank whole milk, so I don't really have I can't compare the two, 2% to whole milk, because I've never had whole milk. So 2% to me is whole milk, if that makes sense. I bring this all up because last night, or maybe, sorry, apologies, 2 nights ago, I was doing stand-up Manchester, Connecticut. We had a fun time. I had an okay set. It was all right. I don't want to disclose what it is I'm working on stage, because maybe you'll come see me in person, and I don't want to blow hawk my dick loogie before you see me. If you get the reference, you get the reference. I'm using that phrase a lot, hawk a dick loogie and calling people cheese doodles. So you will get annoyed with me using those terms in the next 10 episodes. I promise you that. Anyways. So after the set, I go to CVS because I was out of milk, and I am a milk drinker now. The B-Man, I drink milk. So I go to CVS, And I'm in the back of the back of CVS because that's where they put all the milk and all the health. You know, you got to walk through. You got to walk through 100 yards or 50 yards of CVS of saturated fats and corn syrup to get to the healthy, you know, the meats and potatoes of a diet, of nutrition. So I go and I'm looking at the refrigerator and I pick up the 2% milk, but then underneath it, there was a milk that was a different color. It was blue. I'm like, well, what the fuck is that? And I looked at it, it said 1%. And it kind of, whoa. And I kind of had this, I was a little confused. Like I saw 1% and I looked around to see if there was any like CVS workers there. This was late at night, like 10 p.m. No one was really there except for the one lady at the register. And I'm like, well, what is 1% milk? I will admit, 40 years old, two nights ago, I learned what 1% milk was. I did not know there was such a thing as 1% milk. I always thought there was whole, 2% skim. And to date, I have yet to try skim milk. Maybe we'll talk about that in a couple episodes. So I'm there. I'm like, what the fuck is 1% milk? So I'm like, so I put down the 2% right next to the 1%. Where the ingredients are next to each other, and I'm looking at them, I'm like, wow, 1% milk has half the fat of 2%. Interesting, yeah, but the same amount of protein. So I'm looking at the two, and then the price, I think, was the same. It was about $6 and change for like a full jug of it. I'm not sure if that's a gallon or however fucking much that is. And it was kind of like, well, if 1% has half the fat as 2% and the same amount of protein and all the other ingredients are kind of about the same, I think, why would I drink 2% when 1% is less fat? So I got the 1%. And I've been drinking that the last day and a half. Gotta admit, I enjoy the taste of 1% milk. So from now on, the B-Man, currently I am a 1% milk drinker, pure milk, 8 ounces a day, one glass, trying to, preserve my bones, my anatomy. How many different percentage milks are there? Because you have whole milk, there's 2%, there's 1%, there's skim. Is there 4%? Is there 5% milk? There's a lot of, when all you think is there's 2%, whole skim, and then you find out there is a 1% milk, it does expand your mind. Well, it's like finding a new galaxy you didn't know existed out up there in space. It's like, well, if there's 1%, it would seem that there'd be a 0.5%, maybe like 5%. It does, like, what? Maybe there is such a thing as big milk, and they're just giving us so many different percentages that they fool you into buying more than you need. I don't know. It's just my mind is it's wrapped around like a Twizzler. And I'm like, it just blows my mind. You think, like, how do they make two? All right, that's a very hacky joke, but how do you extract the fat from the milk, but still keep the taste and all the other protein sodium and all that? Like, how does that all, how does that work? How does that work? I don't know. Maybe I'll do some research and get back to you in a future episode of Verbal Graffiti. But as of right now, as we move forward with Verbal Graffiti, I am a 1% milk guy. How about you? Let me know down in the comments. And I actually, now that we're on the topic of milk, I will confess, I'm not sure if I have confessed this yet on a Verbal Graffiti. I probably have because I'm a bit of a pervert and I don't know how to keep my mouth shut, but one of the main reasons why I've never wanted to have children is because I do not enjoy the taste of milk. Therefore, I never wanted to get a babe pregnant and have to taste her breast milk, because I do enjoy sucking on a tit, both the left and right, most of the times. And I don't want the taste of milk interfering with my sucking of the tits, the left and the right tit. Therefore, I try vigilantly not to impregnate any babes that whose tits I enjoy sucking. Maybe I want to knock up a babe now because I enjoy the taste of milk, and it is making the bee man think. Well, what is the percentage of human breast milk? Is that whole? Is that can you take human, like female breast milk? Is that whole? And if it is whole milk, is there a way to transform that into 1% human breast milk for a toddler or a perverted grown man? I don't know. This whole milk thing, it's transforming who I am in the moment. It's all I want to talk about. All right, let's keep it. I really disclosed a lot of information in that last 90 seconds. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it forward to a more. This is actually a very lighthearted episode. So let's keep the fun, the jolliness. Let's keep it going. This one comes from an interesting subreddit. It's New York City Influencer Snark. Okay. Filming in a workout class, ... Serious question. I have noticed an influx of random influencers, in quotation marks, filming in my workout classes, and I do not want to be filmed at like 6 a.m., cry emoji. Also have been in Insta Live. I have already tried to speak to the front desk, but they won't do anything. So how do you go about telling someone not to film you mid-class without looking like a bitch? It's been ruining all my workouts! We gotta go. You, I'm not going anywhere, but you, as a gym workouter lady, you need to go guerrilla warfare tactic on these influencers. First thing I want you to do, all right? If the classes start 6 a.m., I want you to get there a little late. Let's say 6:10. And hopefully these influencers keep their lockers unlocked. And what I want you to do, I want you to go into their locker when everyone's in the class. So you're in there, you're in the locker room alone. Open up her gym bag and take a hot, steamy, messy shit right on top of her gym bag, like while it's open. I'm talking like a messy poop, almost diarrhea substance. It's got to be like post 24-ounce coffee, like vegetable, green, protein shake that you take, and just you mush it all, like put some latex gloves on, mush it all over her gym bag, and then leave a written note on top of the shit-laden gym bag and say, hey, stop filming during our classes, or there is more shit from this to come from. So you give her a stern warning. You do that. You do, because you gotta understand that you are in the minority with your complaints. Now, you might actually be in the majority. I suspect, and I am not a gym goer. I'm a road runner. I do pull-ups. That's about, and some burpees. So I'm not like in the gym with 6 a.m. Definitely not 6 a.m. The B-man, I ain't anywhere but my bed in the fetal position at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. should be illegal. That time should not exist. But if you're at the gym, I might be speaking out of school, but I got to imagine most people do not want to be filmed at 6 a.m. like yourself. But like, filming yourself at the gym is now... it's ingrained as part of gym culture. You got to expect, if you go to the gym, whether you like it or not, there are going to be influencers. There are going to be attractive looking people, even unattractive people with love handles like myself, who are filming their workouts, whether it's to become an influencer or maybe just to film, their technique, or, you know, like study tape, or just see their progress from one workout to the next. Like, filming yourself at the gym It's part of 2025 gym culture. So you're fighting, you're losing this fight. That's why we got to fight Gorilla. That's why we got to fight Nasty. We can't use logic. So like, you're 6 a.m., all right, you're there. You don't want your cellulite in the back of the Instagram live video or in the TikTok videos. Like, you're losing that fight. You can't. The gym, the owners of the gym, they're not going to be on your side. Because if you're in the gym, like, you got to love the hot influencers who are posting Insta Lives during their workout, because that's a free advertisement for the gym or whatever fitness center you're at. Because, you know, if you have some hot influencer who's wearing a way overpriced Lululemon lingerie, gym outfit, and, you know, she's doing her workout with her tits out and the perfect hair and, you know, the glistening skin with the sweat coming off of it, and then the gym's logo is in the background, like, that is advertising your Nirvana. The gym is not going to put the kibosh on that. So the gym ownership, management, they're not going to be on your side. They love the influencers. It's free advertising. That 101, they're not going to stop that. And come on, you got to be better than trying to ask the cheese doodles at the front desk to help you out. Because those ladies, those floozies, those cheese doodles, those 304s, those I guess they're influencer light ladies who work the front desk, they're not, they make $15 an hour. They're not there to be a disciplinarian, to follow the rules, to chastise people or patrons for, you know, leaving towels. They're just not, they're there to look pretty. They're there for the clout of being an employee at the gym. It's almost, you know, if you're a front desk lady at a fitness center, there's almost, you become a local celebrity in that community. So that's why you work that job. And also, the main reason why all the pretty people work at the front desk at a gym is to hook up with all the other pretty people that go to the gym to work out. You'll notice all the front desk ladies and guys, chads, they laugh it up with all the pretty patrons before they go into the gym and do their workout. If it's a lady who's the front desk, she is always, she's working there, the 6 a.m. shift, just to hook up with the chads who wear like the tank top or the t-shirt without any sides. For some reason, they cut the whole side out so you can see the rib cage. Like, those chads, that's why the ladies are working at the front desk, to hook up with that chat on the weekend. And same thing with the guys, the muscular guys that work the front desk. They're working that job not for the money, but to hook up with all the ladies that come in the Lululemon and basically wearing lingerie to work out. So they're not going to help you out. That's why you're being flanked. Right, the cameras are showing you without makeup, hair all over the place, 6 a.m. You got the cellulite like bouncing from your, when you're on the Stairmaster, you're in the background of those Insta Live videos. Like, you're flanked by the camera, you're flanked by the culture, you're flanked by the influencers. Nobody is there to help you. So you gotta fight Nasty. You gotta fight a World War II kamikaze pilot, and you gotta attack these influencers via the internet. Let the B-Man explain. All right, you gotta start posting on social media anonymously. You lie about these influencers. All right, you say, you write posts on their whatever website or Instagram account, TikTok account. Write that, oh yeah, I took the shower right after she did. This morning after our gym class, and there were pubes all over the shower wall. She doesn't shave her pubes. You say that her and her husband are involved in a child traffic ring. You say that she's a sugar baby, that she's fucking all the husbands at the gym and ruining marriages. You start you start spreading these rumors on the internet so that it turns her, all of her, like all her followers turn against her. Therefore, she has to shut down her account and cease to be an influencer. So that's one. And also two, try to get these influencer, whatever you want to call them, like wannabes, try to get her to leave the gym. So you can do tactics. All right, shit in her gym bag. You can also, if she has a toothbrush in her gym bag, like wipe it like on your pussy lips, right? Especially if you have an STI, just like wipe it on your pussy lips so that, you know, your pussy gets on her lips when she brushes her teeth. Put droplets of hot sauce into her contact, the contact solution, right? Put droplets of hot sauce in the contact solution so it burns her eyes. And you could also put super glue in her shampoo. And if you know a lot about science, you can make a laboratory virus, and then you throw it on her, and she gets really sick, and you know she's not strong enough anymore to go to the gym. So again, guerrilla warfare, just you hit her from all angles, get everyone on the internet against her, and hopefully she'll stop going to your gym and or stop to be an influencer because everyone on the internet has turned against her, so she has to mute her account. You're welcome. And I'm glad that you're working out at 6 a.m. because to be man, I certainly am not. Let's go look at some photos. As I itch my eye, because allergies are back. It is springtime. And you know what is back since it is springtime? Baseball. And in the first segment, I forgot to show all of you, I have a baseball card of the captain, Derek Jeter. This is one of my favorite baseball cards. Allow me to explain why. It is a Skybox Skylines, and if you can see, it has a skyline of New York City and the buildings within Manhattan, even though the Yankees play in the Bronx, a different borough. But it has, right next to Derek Jeter, is my favorite building in New York City, all five boroughs, the Chrysler Building. Every morning, I wake up, and I am thankful that the terrorist on 9/11 went after the Twin Towers and not the Chrysler Building, because architecturally wise, it is a far superior building than those boring Twin Towers were. But we've gone over that. This is just a basic card. There is a colorful version of this. I think it's out of 50. I've only seen one picture of it. It's very difficult to find. I would like to buy it if I had the money. I do not. So I just have the basic card, but I love it anyways. The captain, Derek Jeter. My proclamation for this year is that the Yankees will win 91 games and make it to the ALDS and lose in 5 or 7, depending on how many games, I forget. ALDS, they'll lose. I don't know to what team, because they don't matter. The only team that matters is the Yankees. And moving on from baseball, you know, maybe I shouldn't go outside. I am kind of a hermit. Other than stand-up comedy and road running, I spend most of my time in my bedroom. I scroll through recs, I edit videos, I watch movies, but I'm trying to go out more, being more interactive. I am a local celebrity here, so I gotta go out, meet, greet, you know, kiss babies, politic. I gotta do that. So I'm at Saturday morning, or maybe it was Sunday morning, I go out, or mid-afternoon that is, I go to a cafe. And I, as you all know, I drink my coffee black. I'm a boring coffee drinker, but it is the best coffee drinker. You know, no frills. I just give me the bean juice pure and get that caffeine into my system after it burns my tongue in about back top of my mouth. Anyways, I'm in line, and there's this lady in front of me. She's wearing a wool sweater. It was kind of, I'll be honest, it was grotesque. It looked like a 80s music video. It was just very, it wasn't form-fitting her body. It was loose-fitting. enough about the sweater. So I'm behind her in line, and she gets to the register, and she orders, get this, get what this twat orders. She orders a small decaf coffee and a large chai tea. People like this exist. That might be the most blah order at a coffee cafe of all time. You know, you go to a coffee cafe and there's literally walls of all the options written in chalk or a marker or, you know, I started drinking coffee when I was 35. I probably would have started at 25, but I once walked by I'm not sure if it's a Starbucks or a local cafe in New York City, and I walked in my mid-20s, and I saw all the options on, you know, behind the register, and it intimidated me so much because I didn't know what Americana, like half and half. I didn't know what any of that bullshit was. It intimidated me so much, I'd left. And I didn't go back into a coffee cafe for nearly 10 years before Babe forced me to go in. So, like that's how many options there are at the coffee cafes. You all know this. And this twat of a lady right in front of me ordered a decaf. Who the fuck drinks decaf coffee? A small decaf coffee. And goes outside from her home base to a cafe to order a small decaf and a chai tea, which I don't know what is, but that's got to be the basic of all the teas, the chai tea. So I'm there, and it perturbed me. It ruined the whole outing for me because I'm just there. I get my hot coffee, and I'm drinking it, and I'm observing the people around me trying to, you know, take in the environment instead of scrolling through my phone like the fucking all we all do in 2025. And all I just keep thinking about is, who the fuck orders a decaf small coffee and a chai tea large when you have walls full? You know, there's probably 75 options worth of coffee drinks, and this bitch gets a small decaf. And if she dies in a car accident, can any of us grieve? Like, I'm not going to grieve. Like, yeah, she died. I guess that's sad. But she wasn't living, right? Like, she was drinking decaf coffee. She's ordering small decaf coffee. If someone who orders a small decaf coffee dies horrifically in a car accident, was she really living? Should we really have to grieve her death? I don't think so. You know, it's like, maybe their space on this earth is better served for those who order a more tasteful, a more calorie-filled drink than a fucking decaf coffee. What a twat. I can't believe that line was longer. Like, why the fuck are you holding up the line to order decaf coffee? Hey, there should be a thing. If there's a line at a cafe, hey, all you that are ordering boring fucking drinks, get out of line. All right? Let the fun people who are ordering the drinks that have, you know, 700 calories, let them stand in line. The rest of you, go home and brew your own cup of boring decaf coffee. What a twat. All right, moving along. Episode 120, segment 2. This comes from the subreddit, Bartenders. Well, y'all, it's been real. Don't know if I'll be allowed to bartend again for a while. Fucking cops and their fucking stings. Dot, dot, dot. Update. Got the call, I'm fired. LOL, that means laugh out loud. Oh well, didn't love the job anyway and was planning to leave in the near future. Fucked up big time today, y'all. I served an underage undercover cop. I know, save me the lectures. I'm just gonna go home and stare at the wall for a few hours. 5 years behind the bar, and all it took was 5 seconds. Dude looked like anyone else. Stay on your toes, folks. Facial hair is a big deceiver. No official word yet, but I'm assuming I'm fired. Didn't like that job anyway. Don't know about the court dates or anything yet. Didn't get a date, just that I'll have to appear. I don't know the state law, but in MD, I believe that's Maryland, and I'm assuming I can't bartend for a while after this. Probably pay a few grand. Damn, man, down the shitter. Super mad and disappointed in myself. Thought I was better than this. Yeah, you're being... Are you being coy with us, former bartender here? This story, there's got to be some variables in your story that you're excluding, because this doesn't jibe for the B-man. This story, the puzzle pieces don't go together, because do you really get fired and arrested for serving an underage undercover cop? Again, I'm not a bartender. I multitasking, making drinks, multiple orders. I would not be good at that. But it seems to me the penalty that you're explaining. So you got fired, and now you gotta go to court and possibly get arrested or a serious fine for serving one drink to one undercover cop that had a full beard that was, you know, doing a sting operation. There's something more to this story that you're not telling us, and I don't know what that is. So I wanna feel sorry for you, have empathy, but there's got to be something else that you did or did previously that led to you getting kicked out of the job. There's something's not groovy about this post, and because I spend a lot, the B-man, I'm a loner, I'm a loser, I'm a lover, but I have no one to love right now, so I spend a lot of nights alone, after stand-up, at bars, conversing with bartenders. I tip well. And yeah, I know bar culture, not club culture, but I do know bar culture. And bartenders that I know personally have done far more worse, heinous, illegal activities than you just did under serving an underage police officer. But bartenders are notorious for breaking laws while on the clock, while during their shift. They'll drink on the clock. They'll do shots, you know, with the local customers. They'll do lines of coke in the bathroom. They'll bend customers over the toilet and fuck on the shift. They'll go outside, smoke a cigarette, leave the bar unmanned with a full, you know, 6 or 7 people at the bar. They'll just smoke their Marlboro Red, and everyone will have to wait till they're done with that cigarette to get their Bud Light. The bartenders will steal money from the register. They'll steal tips. They'll talk shit about all the cooks and all the other bartenders that aren't working at that current moment. Basically, to be a bartender, at least until this post came up, like, I believe the only way as a bartender you could get fired is if there was blood involved. If you committed some type of felony while working behind the bar, that's the only way that an owner of an establishment would fire you, or general manager, that is. So there, and then you're getting fired for what? Giving a cop a Bud Light with facial hair? Fuck out of here. There's something about this event that you're not telling us here, Verbal Graffiti. So I'm angry with you. Now, if we're going to play this like you told us the whole story and it's above board and you did this one deed and you slipped up once, if I was the owner of the bar, I would not fire you. All right? Now, listen, if the undercover cop came in and he was wearing an Eagle Scouts outfit or a high school football jersey and you served him his Bud Light, yeah, maybe I'd fire you. But the cop had a full beard. that's a one-off. That's a, really, if you're the cop, you don't got anything else better to do. I don't know the statistics of whatever town or city you live in, but I got to imagine there are probably drunk drivers. There are probably a lot. There are probably people dying of fentanyl. Why don't you go after the people who are selling the fentanyl instead of trying to get a bartender to serve a Bud Light to a guy with facial hair? Shame on the cops. Now, again, if this is the exact story you're telling us, which I don't think it is, but if it is, you're fired. You have no, you have time. Time doesn't matter to you because you're fired. You're not going to be able to bartend for the next, I don't know, how long you get suspended for, a year? So you have nothing but time on your hand. I say, the B-man, the people's degenerate, I say, if that cop fucked with your job, you take the next year, that now that you're fired, and you fuck with his job, right? If he got you fired, you try to get this cop fired. You find out his badge number. You follow him during his shift. Every time he pulls someone over, you pull over, and you take your cell phone out, right? And you video it. You video everything he does. You just become a menace to this cop. You follow him. Traffic stop, you pull over. He beats up somebody. He does one misstep during the next year. You be on his ass. You put it on the internet, and you get him fired. And if he doesn't get fired, you go a little further. Put an explosive underneath his truck. Right? And when he opens the door, boom, boom, loses a limb. Right? You try to get a local member. You try to get a local bartender fired. Right? You copped me. I'm gonna cop you. Your left arm. Boom, IED underneath your truck. You fuck with me, I fuck with you, huh? You fuck with me, fuck with me. What is that saying? Fuck around and find out. You got to make sure that cop finds out. And this is where the cops. There is a reason why you should tip your bartender well, more so than you do your barista and all your other service workers. Because we, as a society, we expect too much of the bartender. Like the bartender, you think about a bartender. He's got a server drinks. He's got, what? How many drinks are there? 100 drinks, like White Russians, vodka, and Red Bull, redheaded slut, all the fancy, sex on the beach, margaritas, mojitos, all these fancy drinks. They got to make all them, and everyone's coming at them. If it's like a Friday, Saturday, Thursday night, you got to keep 100 tabs open and keep them all in order and not forget anybody's name. And you got to make sure nobody's had too much to drink. If someone's eyes are too dilated, you got to cut them off. And then you got to diffuse that situation when that customer gets angry. And you're like, why the fuck can't I have my tequila? Why the fuck can't I have my tequila? And it's a bartender. You're like, well, you know, your eyes, you're kind of slurring your speech and you're wobbling around and you're bothering other patients. And it's like, as they're yelling at you, someone's like, hey, can I get a Bud Light? Can I get a Bud Light? I've been waiting over here 20 minutes. And then they got to take food orders. And it's just, there's the bartender. It's a very stressful job. So if you were really, if this cop, this undercover cop did this sting operation, come on, cops, come on. Like There's a lot wrong in your community you could be going after other than a bartender just trying to make a living. So, but again, there's something about this story that there's variables that you're not giving us. And I am interested in knowing what those are. But again, another thing I know about bartenders, they're not the most moral, upstanding citizens. They're loving people, but they're known to fib here and there. So we'll never know. But hey, I hope you do get another bartending job somewhere. And, fucking, you should be allowed to drink when you're 16. All right. All right, moving along. We were going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. We are on the top of page, I believe, 111. Yeah, page 111, we will read two pages together aloud. Sensing her anxiety, Carlsberg began to intone soothing words of relaxation. His familiar, calming voice was all it took for the young housewife to relax again. Aided by the drug he had given her, she surrendered willingly to the two eager males, hungrily resuming her sucking on Garrett's hard, muscular penis, relaxing her hips and back muscles to give the doctor complete ease of entry. I must be strong, she thought. I must. Then suddenly her mouth was empty. Garrett was withdrawing from her at the urging sign of Carlsberg that she had not seen. She was momentarily confused and dazed, and she looked to see what was happening. Carlsberg removed his finger from her anus, and Garrett was positioning himself on the bed beside her. Then the doctor carefully nudged her body, letting her understand that she was to turn on her side, facing Garrett. She did this as was instructed without question. Immediately, she and the young man feverishly clutched each other's hot, naked bodies, locking themselves in a torrid embrace. Garrett kissed her with passionate intensity, nearly smothering her with excitement. His skin and body were unbelievably sensuous. To her hands, she was eagerly ran them over every available inch of his nakedness. She was so excited now that she wanted to draw him inside of her, if she could, to become one with him, one great mass of hot, lurid flesh. In the next moment, Garrett positioned his desired bloated cock at the entrance to her darkly frigid cunt, and with a savage moan, entered her powerfully, making her gasp with pleasure as his huge shaft buried into up to the hilt of her tight cuntal passage. At the same time, her buttocks were stretched roughly apart by the doctor's grasping hands, and she felt the hard, pulsating tip of his penis being positioned at her tiny, puckered rectal ring. They're going to love me together, she thought in a sudden moment of panic. Oh, God, I don't think I can take it. But before she could think of it further, Carlsberg plunged his huge, hardened spear of male flesh forward, and her anus suddenly popped open as the thick cock slipped up inside the tightly clenched walls of her back passage. Again, surges of excruciating pain shot through her defenseless loins, but this time the pain excited her, for it was mixed with the obscene pleasure being filled by two mammoth cocks. It drove her wild as nothing had before in her entire life, and soon she forgot the pain entirely, overwhelmed by the double fucking. Go suck a fat one.